This podcast, Czech German Perspectives, is brought to you by the Czech German Young Professionals Program. To find out more and to get access to other episodes, please visit our website cgypp.eu. Today's episode brings you the views on online regulation and facing threats online. The online space has experienced an unprecedented boom in the past two decades, and the amount, type, and accessibility of services, applications, and platforms has been continuously growing. They provide for amazing opportunities, facilitate communication. During the COVID-19 pandemics, they help fight the solitude and loneliness that inevitably came with the worldwide lockdowns. They're indispensable in the area of education, and they contribute to science endeavors, to name just a few areas. Yet, as with any other advancement, there are always those who wish to, for various reasons, profit of the progress, gain all kinds of influence, abuse the progress, or use the tools and new opportunities for nefarious purposes. The EU can be considered the pioneer when it comes to online regulation. Be it the regulation addressing the dissemination of terrorist content online, which was proposed in 2018 and came into force in 2021, the Digital Services Act package, consisting of the Digital Services Act and Digital Markets Act, that came into force in late 2022, or also the currently debated proposal known as the AI Act, which was presented in 2021, and the proposal for a regulation laying down rules to prevent and combat child sexual abuse of 2022. Yet, it is not only the legislative tools that the EU has relied on in this domain, and it employs a range of voluntary initiatives as well. Since 2015, the European Commission regularly summons the EU Internet Forum, which has, over the years, expanded its portfolio from fighting terrorist and violent extremist content, propaganda and borderline content online, through child sexual abuse material online to human trafficking and drugs trafficking online. Since 2016, there is also the Code of Practice on Disinformation, which was strengthened in 2022, and the European External Action Service has since 2015 also focused on tackling disinformation, foreign information manipulation, and interference. All of the mentioned initiatives and pieces of legislation have at least one thing in common. In one way or another, they aim to address security issues and threats that inevitably exist in the online space. Many of the services and platforms used every day across the world appeared as a complete novelty at their time. They very quickly gained an unprecedented user base and earned their owners some surpassing even the GDP of some countries. As such, they presented the policymakers and lawmakers with dilemmas how to treat them. On the one hand, there are free market principles and also the understanding of the internet as a free space. On the other, it has become more and more apparent that the online space cannot continue in an unregulated manner. After all, what is illegal offline is also illegal online. So what to do about it? The setting until recently meant that the lawmakers and policymakers, be it on the EU level or the member state level, had to rely on the online service providers to cooperate and share data voluntarily. As time has passed, it became evident that not everybody wanted to cooperate. The arguments have ranged from business secrecy and market competition, through not wanting to limit the freedom of speech, to simply not wanting to cooperate. And even if data was shared, there was no way to verify if the data is complete or accurate. There also has been very little space for verification of the error rate, how the specific tools implemented by the online service providers work, how much, or if any, human verification is being used, and many other unknowns. At the same time, even some of the online service providers themselves call for online regulation. Their motivation may vary and can be challenged, but one argument that has resonated was the legal uncertainty and fragmentation they would have to face unless harmonized rules are introduced. Now, some of these issues are being addressed by the TCO, DSA, DMA, and in the future also the AI Act and the CSAM regulation. However, the question remains if they will be sufficient, if they indeed have the capacity to address the broad range of issues that manifest online or are facilitated by the new technologies, be it disinformation, misinformation, propaganda, terrorism, extremism, all kinds of abuse and others, if they are future-proof enough, and whether we indeed have tools that are efficient enough to make the online service providers truly accountable for their products, all the while making sure that freedoms and democratic principles are being respected and protected. Looking for answers to some of these questions, I spoke with Mr. Daniel Brown, the head of the cabinet of the European Commission's Vice President Věra Jourová, who kindly addressed my questions on the online regulation vis-à-vis threats in the online domain. To begin with, it seems to me we are still being reactive rather than proactive when it comes to online regulation. After all, it took very long to introduce the pieces of legislation that we now have or that are now being negotiated. Why do you think it took so long? What can we do to change the dynamics from reactive to proactive, especially in such an unpredictable and rapidly evolving domain? And how can we make sure that the ever-growing legislative toolbox is future-proof?
Well, I think the invention of new technologies has always created the challenge for society to adapt its rules. This was the story with cars, with radios or phone companies in the previous century, and when digital revolution came along, the problem became more acute. And digital revolution does change everything, including how we live, work, communicate, and the speed of change is very fast. It has become evident that technology creates risks for people, but also for fundamental rights and democracy. And our role as regulators is to address the risks while promoting innovation on European soil. And naturally, as regulators, we will always be behind the curve of innovation. There is nothing wrong about that. I think we don't want any type of social engineering which is not based on solid facts and data. And based on thorough analysis of those facts, the European approach to digital revolution is principles-based. This means that we focus more on the objectives to be achieved than on the technology itself. And this is simply because technologies are changing so fast. We also put people first, as we say. So no matter how fast technologies evolve, they must always serve human purpose and leave no one behind. So the rights we enjoy as people must remain with us and not with the machines.
An argument that is being regularly used when it comes to online regulation is the risk of limiting the freedom of speech and freedoms overall. At the same time, some things simply do not qualify as free speech, no matter the context, and some kinds of behavior and activities online have made it necessary to introduce regulation. Where do you see the right balance, and how can we best reassure the population that their freedoms are not being impeded upon while being effective in facing online harms and actually protecting the citizens? In this context, is it safe to say that more regulation actually means more democracy?
So the boundary of freedom of speech is determined by the law, in this case criminal law. And in EU countries, the law prohibits, for example, dissemination of child pornography, hate speech that has the potential to cause violence in society, terrorism, political extremism. And these paragraphs can be found in all the existing criminal laws of the European Union. So we don't say to Facebook, if we find content like this on your site, you are the perpetrator. The perpetrator is always the author of the post. We just want the platforms that manage the information space to pay attention to it and comply with the rules that also apply offline. We have the Digital Services Act that is here to protect free speech against arbitrary decisions, as we could see with deleting some accounts on social media, and every online platform will have to be transparent about the way they deal with user-generated content. Some content will always have to be restricted because it's illegal or because it's harmful. So whenever it's removed, the user will be given a chance to contest this decision. That's the new thing. And very large online platforms, which are services that have more than 45 million users in the EU, these will have the additional task to assess and mitigate any systemic risks that arise with the provision of their services. And this includes taking all possible measures to uphold fundamental rights. And that's a change in the way they have to design their business models. It's perfectly legitimate for companies to seek profit, but we say now users' rights have to come first. And there's indeed a link between this regulatory aspect and democracy. The way in which information flows on the internet has so far been decided by non-transparent algorithms, and we brought greater transparency and public accountability to this world. So the systemic risks have to be mitigated by these very large online platforms. And this also includes adverse effects of platforms on what the legislation defines as democratic processes, civic discourse, and electoral processes. That's one of the risks that they have to assess and mitigate.
All of the legislative tools that were mentioned are built on the principle of internal market. They also commonly mention that they do not affect or are without prejudice to the application of the e-commerce directive of 2000. Yet, it seems to me that the security aspects and some of the threats that came along with online advancement reach beyond the internal market rules. Considering that, and also taking into account the competences of the EU and of the member states, do you think this approach still suffices?
We have the EU internal market as a legal basis, but that's not in contradiction with the wider societal goals that we are pushing and pursuing through these actions. So the Digital Markets Act, another piece of legislation, regulates fairness in economic relations between platforms and business users. And the aim of this DMA, Digital Markets Act, is to ensure that the market is contestable, that there can be competitors. And the DSA, the Digital Services Act, regulates societal harms on online platforms, ranging from sale of illegal goods, which is clearly a single market related issue, all the way to what we just discussed, the fighting illegal content or disinformation. So this is really looking at the impact of platforms on the society as a whole. And also the security aspects dealt with through this EU regulation were clearly visible in COVID times, when disseminating disinformation on vaccines posed a security risk. And I already talked about spreading terrorism or political extremism being illegal. And many digital companies are operating on a pan-European scale. If we want them to act responsibly, so not to threaten the safety, health, fundamental rights of citizens, it makes perfect sense to adopt one set of rules across the whole of Europe. And with this, every citizen enjoys the same level of protection, and every law-abiding company can scale up in our single market.
Another market-related argument is that micro, small, and even medium-sized companies may face difficulties when complying with the regulatory requirements. Yet, if we exclude them or continually create multiple-tier rules, it can make us less effective in properly addressing threats. An example being that harmful and illegal content can move from big platforms to the small ones, where outreach may be more difficult and regulatory rules are less stringent. How do you think we can best approach this?
So a regulation is always a balance between addressing risks and not killing innovation in this area. We definitely don't want to burden small actors with additional reporting and duties where it's really not necessary. The DSA does not define what is illegal content, and criminal law does that, and that is binding for big platforms as well as for the small ones. So there is no legal derogation for small companies as far as content is concerned. What the Digital Services Act does is that it introduces so-called due process obligations. In other words, it lays down the rules for dealing with the content that platforms are hosting. This approach is risk-based. All platforms also the smaller ones have to act against illegal content once they become aware of it. And this is indeed necessary to protect their users from harm. But being a larger player also means that the risk of harmful content going viral is much bigger. So this increased risk to society is reflected in increased obligations for these very large platforms. And their mitigating systemic risks takes greater effort than just ensuring the plain respect of existing criminal law.
How do you think we can best make online service providers accountable and accept responsibility for their products? What I mean is, if there is, for example, a toy that is about to enter the market, there are rigorous processes that ensure that the toy is safe. So why should online services be treated any differently?
Here, marketplaces are intermediaries for third-party sellers, so they don't play the same role. For instance, a marketplace would normally never see a product that is shipped by a trader to a consumer, so it's not possible to oblige a marketplace to physically inspect goods. That said, prior to the DSA, marketplaces tended to hide behind this intermediary function, refusing to take any responsibility towards their end consumers. So the DSA changed this. Under this Digital Services Act, online marketplaces like Amazon are requested to clearly identify their traders and to better trace their activities. So there's the so-called principle of know your business customer. And if a trader repeatedly violates the law, the marketplace has to suspend the services to that trader. And this should ensure a safer, more trustworthy environment for consumers and also discourage traders who abuse the platform for selling unsafe or counterfeit goods, for example. So the marketplaces still can't physically inspect the products sold, but they will have to make random checks whether products or services have been identified as being illegal in any official database and then take action. And again, very large online platforms will also be subject to audits that will include an analysis of their vulnerability to illegal goods. And again, they have to implement mitigation measures that will also be audited. And one way of complying with this obligation can be some code of conduct. So in the area of counterfeit products, for example, or safety of products, there are pledges. So there's a product safety pledge that these can adhere to.
Another issue is that, intentionally or not, some of the biggest online service providers became a kind of political players with a significant sway over lawmakers. If a popular platform was to withdraw from the market, for example, over not being willing to comply with the EU or national legislation, it could also be a huge political blow for those who propose such legislation. So how do you think we can address this?
So when we were working on this new digital rulebook with the Digital Services Act, Digital Markets Act, and Media Freedom Act, and many others, tech companies are always consulted, have been consulted like any other interested party. I myself was present to several meetings with CEOs of tech companies from Silicon Valley, and some of them openly said that they would welcome regulation that would bring legal clarity and predictability. This is what happened with the Digital Services Act. And while we are always conscious of the need to stay proportionate and not to excessively stifle innovation, our primary concern is really the well-being of citizens and integrity of the democratic system. That's the basis for our actions. And we've tried to combine both, so a safer online environment for citizens where their rights are better protected, and a proportionate and harmonized legal framework across Europe in which digital companies can provide services in all transparency. And I wonder if any big tech company would seriously consider leaving a market of 450 million relatively wealthy consumers, mostly, that can be reached by complying with a harmonized and unpredictable set of rules.
Some member states have experienced difficulties when implementing some of the legislative tools, and some member states also have varying experience when it comes to online harms, just as with what kind of harms they experience. So how can we make sure that national realities are reflected in these regulatory measures and national experience is being heard?
Member states of the European Union voted unanimously this new digital rule book, which I think shows that they all see benefits that it brings compared to fragmented national approaches. Even the largest member states are small compared to the big tech, which weakens their position in taking national measures. So all the countries understand the importance of the single market for their own companies. If ever one of their startups wanted to grow beyond the national borders, it will really greatly benefit from a single set of rules across the union. And coming back to the Digital Services Act, it did not regulate content as such. As I mentioned, what is illegal is laid down in national laws or European laws on product safety, for example. But every member state can still largely decide nationally what it considers to be illegal hate speech. The DSA only harmonizes the way in which an online platform has to deal with such content whenever it appears on their services. And last but not least, for many types of content covered by the DSA, except the very large online platforms, the day-to-day enforcement will take place through national systems, through national market surveillance authorities, through national data protection authorities, through media regulators and others.
And finally, where do you see the need for further work and how can we best achieve it?
So I think now, honestly, the number one priority is implementation and enforcement of the rules that we have just adopted. There is no point in adoption of great laws if we don't have the capacity to enforce them. In terms of unfinished regulatory business, the biggest challenge and the hit of the day, I would say, in the digital area is surely artificial intelligence. The speed of change with AI is almost supersonic. You may have heard that ChatGPT was downloaded 100 million times in just 2 months after its launch. So creating the rules for these emerging technologies is probably becoming even more urgent than before. I believe that by the end of this year, we will have finished the negotiations with the Parliament and the Council on the first ever comprehensive regulatory framework for AI in the world. That's the AI Act that addresses high risks that certain AI applications may create. And the aim here is, again, to mitigate risks in a proportionate manner. So this should protect safety, health, fundamental rights of citizens while allowing AI to flourish and realize the great potential that it certainly has as a technology. And in parallel, we are working in close cooperation with like-minded international partners on this so that we agree on some minimum, at least global standards for safe and ethical use of artificial intelligence.
That was Mr. Daniel Brown and a discussion on online regulation and facing threats online. Thank you for all the interesting responses, food for thought, and to the listeners, thank you for tuning in. My name is Markéta Šonková, and this podcast episode was created for the Czech-German Young Professionals Program.